We've had a great day. We had a wonderful celebration with our high school seniors today. Great meal and a great presentation. I appreciate all the hard work that Bill and Jared did. Plus, there were a lot of other people who worked very diligently trying to do things to make it a great day. And you did well. It was a great day. As we think about our work together tonight, I want to think about a prize. These folks that have finished their work, they have won a great prize, that diploma. We have several college graduates. We have high school graduates. As we think about all of that, it's a wonderful thing. There have been many, many times that I have tried to win a prize, won a few, lost a lot. What does it take to win a prize as we think about the kinds of things that we can gain in the world? I was thinking about a man named William McPherson. William McPherson was a man who had an accident as a younger person. He got his face burned really bad. He had some difficulty, not able to use parts of his body, couldn't see. But he learned to read Braille with his lips. And he learned to read Braille so well with his lips that the story that I read about him says that he read the Bible completely from front to finish several times using his lips to read the Braille. That's a pretty amazing feat, it would seem to me. I read another story about a guy named Bill Broadhurst who entered a race in Omaha, Nebraska. It was called the Pepsi 10K, and this was in about 1981 or two, a 5K. In fact, Bill was telling me he ran a 5K or maybe a 10K, I don't remember, yesterday in the rain down in Alabama. I have ridden my four-wheeler a few times in what would be about equal to a 5K. That's about as close as I've come to running in a 5K. But there are a lot of people who enjoy running. Bill Broadhurst was one of those guys that enjoyed running a lot. He entered this race in spite of the fact that he had been slowed physically by a brain aneurysm that he suffered 10 years before this race. The brain aneurysm left him partially paralyzed on the left side. And he entered this race because his hero, whose name was Bill Rogers — you would have to be a running enthusiast to know who Bill Rogers is — but he won the Boston Marathon in 1978, 1979, and 1980. He's the last American-born runner to win the Boston Marathon. We've had a couple of Americans, but they were born in another country and moved here. Bill Broadhurst entered that race because he was determined to finish the race, and Bill Rogers won the race. No one's surprised that he did. He ran a time of 29 minutes and 37 seconds. At 2 hours and 20 minutes into the race, Bill Broadhurst began to hurt severely, and there were a couple of young people on a bicycle. All the stuff had been taken down, all the barriers, the finish line had been taken down, all the timers were gone. Everybody thought the race was over, but Bill Broadhurst continued. These young men said, "Mister, the race is over. Everybody's gone. There's nobody to time you. There's no reason for you to go on." And Bill Broadhurst said, "There's a reason for me to go on. My hero, Mr. Rogers, finished this race. I am going to finish the race." He saw the end, and the story says that his heart sank because there was no finish line. There were no people there. And then, as he was headed toward the finish line, a group of people came out, including Bill Rogers, and they strung a finish line across the street. And as he ran through and finished the race, they had been waiting for him. Rogers ran, the story says, and hugged Bill Broadhurst. He took the gold medal that he had won from his neck, and he put it around the neck of this last runner to finish the race. And Bill Rogers said to Bill Broadhurst, "You are the winner. You deserve the prize." When we start thinking about the prize that we ought to be seeking, Paul writes a little bit about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 24. We've read these verses many times. There are two illustrations that Paul uses. He uses the illustration of a runner, and he also uses the illustration of a boxer. Most of you in the room have run a little bit. I remember back in 1965, Jerry, in the fall, about being down in a dorm room in Brigance and a bunch of guys boxing. None of us knew anything about it, but we boxed. And as we played around in that room, you can get your nose mashed pretty quickly and pretty easily in there. And you did not want to be swinging and missing, because when you swing and miss, the other person is likely going to have a much better shot at swinging and not missing. But Paul understood those illustrations of a runner and that of a boxer. And as we think about this particular story, we want to think about winning the prize. And the prize is far greater than a medal that you could win in a race. It's far greater than a trophy that you could win. It is such a neat thing. It is a crown, an incorruptible crown that will never fade away. A crown that represents the life of all lives, eternal life. And that's the life that we're seeking. That's the prize that we are seeking. Paul wants us to run in such a way that we might obtain this prize. You can run and not obtain the prize. You can run part of the way and not obtain the prize. You can box, but unless you box with aim and you hit what you are aiming at, Paul speaks of people in that sense as just beating the air. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus that they ought to walk worthily of the calling wherein they were called. We need to be faithful as soldiers of the cross as we fight the good fight of faith. Paul wrote to Timothy in both 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 and also in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. How do you go about winning the prize? What do you have to do if you want to win? When we start thinking about all the challenges that are out there, there's a lot going on. There are many people that would try to keep you from winning the prize that Paul so desires for you to have. But even more importantly, that God so desires. God wants you to win the prize so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. How do you go about that? I want to share with you a couple of things that I think I see in this passage. You may see some other things that might be even more significant than the ones that I see. But let's think about just a few things that Paul says that you really need to think about if you want to win the prize. The first thing is you need a goal, and it needs to be a clear goal. We are running. Why? We want to obtain, if we're running in a race, we want to obtain a crown, a trophy, a medal. But it's a perishable thing. I was walking through our garage, and that's quite a challenge these days with all the stuff that's in there. But back as I was going through looking for something for someone, I noticed a bag back there, a grocery bag. And it has a lot of trophies and plaques in it. Those are trophies and plaques that my children won as they were growing up. We were cleaning up some things, and they decided that those trophies and plaques were not significant enough anymore to set out. You know, there was a time when you really were proud of the fact that you were winning this particular trophy or this plaque or this medal. Well, time moves on, and those things become less significant. In fact, Paul says those things, every one of them, no matter how great, no matter what level you have, those things are going to fade away. But we need that goal of a crown that will never, ever pass away. Peter describes our goal as an inheritance, incorruptible. It will not rust. It will not melt. It will not, and you can go ahead and fill in any kind of destructive circumstance that you want to fill in. This indestructible crown is going to be there. Indestructible, and it will never fade away because God has reserved this crown for you and for me in heaven. We need that clear goal. We need to be thinking about that. And as we strive in this world, and God encourages us, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all of your might. If you are playing on a sports team, or if you're in some musical group, whether it's instrumental or vocal, you need to work really hard. If you have a job, you need to work really hard. You need to be the employee of the year. You need to be the best of the best at whatever it is that you're going to do. Paul isn't trying to tell us it doesn't matter what you do. It won't matter if you win any crowns in this world. That isn't what Paul is saying. Paul says the real goal is not like those. It is different. It is not going to fade away. The Apostle Paul, near the end of his life, was able to talk about what he had done in order to reach the goal. As we read these very famous words in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8, we're going to see that Paul fought a good fight. You see, he is a boxer, if you will. He is not just beating the air, but he's really fighting to be who he needs to be. He finished the course. Here is a race set up, and he didn't quit before the end. He is near the end, and he is still going to finish the course, and he is going to keep on trusting God no matter what, and he's about to lose his life as these words are written, but he kept the faith. So what? But Paul says, henceforth there is laid up for me that crown, a crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day, and not to me alone, but to all who love his appearing. We need a goal. What's your goal? Is it just to be an all-star? Is it just to get a paycheck at work? Is it just to get on a vacation? What is your goal? We need that crown in our minds, in our hearts, in our vision as we work toward the prize. When we have a clear goal, we're going to have to work really hard because we can lose sight of that goal. I've just listed several things here. Paul says here in verse 27, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself become a castaway. What a tragic thing it would have been for the Apostle Paul to work as diligently as he did, to go through all the things that we read about in 2 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 23, to get that far and then fall and fail and quit. We can lose sight of the goal, and we ourselves can become a castaway. We can become fatally overconfident. Paul understood that. There were some people in Corinth who thought they had it made. And the Apostle Paul said, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Those of us who are working today, we need to be diligent that we do not lose sight of our goal so that we do not become overconfident and think we have it made and begin to trust in ourselves instead of in God. We can read stories about people like Demas. Demas was a faithful worker. If you look in the book of Philemon, you're going to see that Demas was one of the fellow laborers with the Apostle Paul. Wouldn't that be a great thing to have written about you as it was about Demas in Philemon, verse 24? A fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul. But we read, as Paul nears the end of his life, in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4 and verse 10, Demas has forsaken me. Why? having loved this present world. It is so easy to love the world and the things that are in the world. And you see, if you look down the list, you're going to see that. We're warned not to love the world and the things that are in the world. The world is just trying to pull us into that kind of a relationship with the world so that we will become like Demas, having forsaken the Lord because our love for the world and the things that are in the world are more important to us than our love for God and that crown that God offers. We are also warned that we can have the wrong goal. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We need to be focused. We need to have priority in our lives, and that priority needs to be the kingdom, the kingdom of God. As we think about the prize, some of us love compliments. We enjoy people telling us how good we are. Sometimes those of us who have grown up preaching, if we had listened to people when we first started preaching who would tell us how good we were, if they told us what wonderful speakers we are, and there are a few young men who fit that bill, but most of us really struggle. Most of us have to work so very, very hard. In my office, I have a box of 4x6 cards, and those are the sermon outlines that I use for the first several years of my preaching career. I sometimes get those cards out, and I look at them, and I wonder what could I have possibly said to those poor people who were listening. When we start thinking about that, though, there was never a sermon that went by without somebody telling me how good I did, what a wonderful speaker I am. There are always those compliments, and if we aren't careful, we can be built up so much in our own mind that we fall in love with those compliments and we let the praises of men become too important to us. And if we aren't really careful, as we read in the book of John, chapter 12, we'll begin to compare ourselves with others, and we'll be lifting ourselves up by stepping on other people because we love the praise of men. We can lose sight of the goal that God has set for us. We need to have a clear goal, and we need to stay focused on that goal. And then, as we think about what Paul says here, we have to observe the rules. We have to run in such a way that we might obtain the prize. You see, if you are running around a track in a race, you can't run and look and see everybody ahead of you and decide you're going to cut across the infield of the track and catch up with everybody that way. You can't do that. You have to run according to the rules. Sometimes if you're on a track and you're running, you have to stay in the lane the whole race. And they will give you some space so that everything is fair. Sometimes you can start a race and you have to stay in your lane for a certain distance and then you can move over. People are disqualified when they fail to follow the rules. The same thing is true in our work with the kingdom of God. You see, there are certain things that a boxer must do. You can't jump out of the ring, and try to keep fighting. You've got to stay inside the ring. There are certain ways in which you have to fight, and you can't do certain things, or you will be disqualified. When we start thinking about breaking the rules, it disqualifies us if we are working to obtain a prize. We stay within the limits that are set by the rules of the game. One of the things that our culture hates is to think about the Bible in any sense of the word as a rule book. They want to think of it as a letter of love, and they want to teach that it really does not set forth standards or rules as we think about what must I do to be saved. When we read that question in Acts 16 by the Philippian jailer, can we just say, trust God because He sent His Son into the world to die for you? Or are there some specific standards by which you must go? You see, if you're running in a race that requires you to stay in the lane all the way, can you tell somebody, listen, just move over to the middle whenever you want to, or move over to the edge where the lane will be closer whenever you want to? You see, can you trip a runner purposefully to try to get in front of them? Can you do what you want to do? You see, we recognize that as we think about the illustrations that the Apostle Paul says. We must listen to what God says. It is not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, that will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. There are going to be many people, beginning in Matthew 7 and verse 22, who will want to tell the Lord they ran by his rules. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, did we not prophesy by your name? Did we not cast out demons by your name? Did we not do many mighty works in your name? And then Jesus is going to look at the life that they lived. And you see, verse 21 has just said, it's not just calling on the Lord. It's not just someone who has some kind of faith in God. It is a matter of understanding God's message and doing what God says. Jesus says of those people, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Jesus isn't denying that they did many good works. He isn't denying that they did a number of things that they said. He just simply is teaching us what verse 21 emphasized. And then as you read past verse 23, you come to this great story, the wise man building his house upon the rock. And he introduces that story by saying, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. We have to do what God says. It's not just a matter of believing or thinking that God is going to bless us because Jesus did die on the cross. We must observe the rules. Because you see, on that last day, Jesus is going to judge us by his word. And as we read John 12 and verse 48, I don't believe anything could be more clear. He who rejects me and does not receive my word has one that will judge him in that day. The word which I have spoken, the same will judge him in that day. We must observe the rules. And then as we think about this passage, Paul teaches us that we must be disciplined and train properly. When we start thinking about athletics, think about a band member. You think about a person who wants to seek a career in the arts. You think about a person who wants to be more proficient at a work at a job at work. You think about people who discipline themselves and who train in a right way. Paul talks about self-control. And if we are going to be who we need to be, we are going to have to work controlling ourselves, seeing that we discipline ourselves. Paul said to all of us, especially to the church at Rome in chapter 12, in those first two verses that have become so significant to us, we read them over and over again, and we should. In fact, we must. Because it is this passage that teaches us that we are living sacrifices. You see, those people in the Old Testament, they would put to death their sacrifice. But God is asking you and me to continue living, but to give ourselves over to him, to be a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. We need to work hard to be as mentally prepared as we can by renewing our minds, that we might prove what is the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, we give diligence. King James Version says study. We need to be renewing our minds by sharpening our skills. You see, this passage, 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27, is a part of our daily Bible reading this past week. you've read through this, if you've been keeping up early in the week, and you have had the chance to think about what Paul is saying and what it means to seek the prize that God has set out there for you. And so we need to renew our minds, and I want to encourage you as you think about every day reading and keeping up with what God would have us to do. We work hard. We need to work hard. But no one ever gets there. One of the most awesome passages to think about for me is Paul's statement in Philippians chapter 3, when he talks about all the accomplishments that he had made in the flesh. But all of that he counted as trash. It was worthless compared to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He would give it all up to know Jesus Christ. And as he gave himself, he said, I do not count myself to have attained. He wasn't where he wanted to be. I don't know that any of us would want to say, well, you know, I'm right there with the Apostle Paul. I might be a little ahead of him. I don't know that anyone in this room would even want to consider that as we look at the life of Paul and we look at the great things that he did. But as we think, he wanted to press on toward the prize, the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to be people in training. There are people who start out. We have resolutions, don't we? Did you ever make any resolution and you get started and then it just gets too busy? We get too tired. We have too much going on. We have all kinds of reasons that we stop. There are a lot of people who start out working diligently, thinking as little people in our Bible classes. Our teachers do such a great job of showing our children the love of God and the Word of God. And they teach songs and they teach passages. And we have these young people learning and they get started. And if we aren't careful, we're going to drop the ball. When we become responsible for ourselves, we need to keep going. The Hebrew writer wrote in chapter 5 that there were some people there that needed to be teachers, but they still have need to be taught. They should be mature enough to be eating meat, but they were people who needed the Word of God still in the milk form because they had not continued to grow. We need so much to have a clear goal, to work hard not to lose sight of the goal, to observe the rules, Paul says, to be disciplined, and then if we're going to win, we're going to have to value the prize. It's going to have to be important to us. We are going to have to work hard, giving up many things in this world, but taking on many great things. One of the things that Paul does in the books of Ephesians and Colossians is he tells us things we've got to put off. You've got to quit some things. You can't keep doing some things and maintain a relationship with God. You've got to quit. You cannot not do some things and maintain a relationship with God. There are things that you must put on if you want to be what God wants you to be. Jesus said it this way, what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, verse 25 here in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul said, we run, we fight to obtain an imperishable crown. And then I love this, not as uncertain. We're not running because we're afraid. It's not that we're not certain that God is going to bless us as we have the opportunity to work in his kingdom and do. We run with certainty. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Value the prize. If I ask for a show of hands, how many of you want that prize of an imperishable crown? I don't think anyone accountable before God who understands much at all about the Word of God would sit with your hand down. I believe we would see every hand of an accountable person. What we have to decide is that crown worth what it takes to discipline ourselves? There probably are people in this room who've never repented of your sins, been baptized into Christ. And almost for sure, in this group, it would not be a matter of not knowing what the Bible teaches. There may be one or more who do not know. But most of us have studied. Most of us understand the message of God. The problem is not knowledge. It's discipline to do what we know is right. There may be a child of God in this room who understands that your life has gotten out of balance and you've learned to love the world more than you love God, and you have not come back to the Lord, not because you don't believe you should. You've just not disciplined yourself to return. Pray that God will forgive you. That's our hope. That's our prayer. That's why we preach. That's why we teach. That's why we listen to God encouraging us not only to seek that crown for ourselves, but to encourage others to seek that crown. Tonight, we sing. We so desire, if you need to respond publicly, that you will. That's our hope. That's our prayer as we stand and as we sing.